What you call that? How many of y'all just felt like that was just beautiful? It's just beautiful. And today, if you're a guest here today, first of all, we want to welcome you, and I'm glad that you're hanging out, and I'm glad that you're giving it an ear. And I hope today, most of all, we're on the Advent, and those of us who follow Christ all through the year, we have a church calendar, and this is the Advent. God comes to us, the Advent of God bringing Himself to humanity. And today is the celebration of God's love to us. We will conclude the Advent celebration, which starts us and launches us into the new church year on Christmas Eve as we light the candle of salvation. Because guess what? Is there hope if we're not saved? No. Is there hope if there is no peace? No. Is there joy if there's not salvation? No. And so the ultimate gift, you ready? The big present, the super present came from God. That you and I would be loved by God. And I just want you to look at your neighbor and I want you to go ahead and tell them this, even if you don't know them, you can be loved. Come on, you can be loved. If somebody needs to hear that today, I'm telling you, you can be loved. Because you know what? Sometimes us, we feel like nobody loves us, man. You know, this is going on, that's going on. This has grabbed a hold of us, and it won't get any better. And I want to encourage you today. Now, this is going to be really crazy. Many of you have decided to be a follower of Jesus Christ in this room. Some of you are yet to make that decision, and hey, we're looking forward to that day. But you know what? A lot of you in this room decided to follow Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Well, I really do need to tell you what's going to happen. You're going to become a loving, controversial figure.
Amen.
In this nation. I want you to pray for my buddy, Dr. Rick Warren. Dr. Rick, I always say Rick wouldn't know who I am, but I met Rick before Rick was cool. And I remember when he was just starting his ministry out in California, and God's given him a national voice. And see, I celebrate with people that get those opportunities. Man, he's got a national voice, and I'm thankful that God gave somebody like Rick a national voice, because I think he's poised, I think he's balanced, and I think he knows how to explain himself well. And I don't think he makes a fool of the faith. But you all pray for him. He's getting shot at because guess what? No longer in America are you allowed to have your opinion. And if your opinion differs, then it goes crazy. And I want to encourage you guys, we are followers of Jesus. Now think about this for a minute. Can you imagine how many diverse opinions? Hold on, go back to your little Christmas time. Silent what?
Night.
Holy night. Really? What historically was going on that night? Anybody know? Many of you will read this in your family homes. And there went out a decree from who? Not much has changed. What were they taking? Taxes. How many people do you find are delighted on April the 15th? Jay, you've been involved in politics. Does April the 15th seem like Christmas to most people in America? I don't know anybody that gets up April the 15th and goes, jeepers, we get to go pay our taxes today. Let's celebrate. Do you know anybody like that? Any of you all like that? If you are, we do offer drug rehab on Monday nights. Tuesday night. I'm just kidding. What is this? And I want to be very honest because I just want you all to pray for Rick. I want you to pray for our president. I think our president is going to do an excellent job in a very difficult time of trying to put together differing viewpoints to get some kind of consolidation that we got to get along with each other. Amen. Now, let me help you. I think those of us who follow Jesus Christ, we ought to be the experts in getting along with each other. In fact, we need to raise up a witness and start being the testimony of that I can love you without having to agree with everything you believe in. Now, how and where do I get this concept? Let me help you. It's not from this world. It came from heaven. Now, let's really check this out philosophically. Some of you are great thinkers in this auditorium. Did Jesus agree? Larry Mustard, you're a very brilliant man. You think about things, how to put things together. And when you get it wrong, Emily, your wife, tells you and you correct yourself. But did Jesus agree with all of us when he came? No. There was not a perfect unity on the night that Jesus was born. There was a perfect Savior born. And that began to release unimaginable hope. All of a sudden, the prophecies since Abraham, that's a few years back, were revealed on a night that the world took a census. Now, what was revealed? Hope. I hope this week, this month, as we've gone through the Advent, how many of y'all realize our hope's in Christ? And pray for each other and love one another and listen to each other. But our hope's in what? Christ. Many of you put your hope in your retirement. And what have you discovered? Ouch. Okay, but listen, don't be shocked. You and I were the fools thinking it was secure in the first place. Who manages retirement? Come on, I want y'all to talk today. I want to see if y'all really get this. Who manages the retirement? People! What do people do? Mess up? How many of y'all have messed up before? How many of y'all have messed up with a good heart? How many of y'all were trying to be loving, but it didn't come out that way? How many of y'all gave, like, diet pills for a Christmas present before? Good intentions, bad display, right? How many of y'all have ever had that moment? Mark Hale, Pastor Mark Hale, he had this email he received. And, you know, sometimes, ladies, we're sorry, but sometimes we men, we just blow it on the Christmas deal. You know what I mean? I mean, I'm going to have to confess. One time, I bought Elizabeth a water ski for Mother's Day because that's a very girly present. It just happened to also fit me, too. You see what I'm saying? Which I thought that was like collaborative giving, okay? Everybody gets blessed. Larry, she didn't see it that way, but loved me anyway, okay? But watch, Mark had this email of this guy. Now, some of y'all are fixing to get married. Are y'all listening to me? Do not ever do this. Men, never do. Men, you all do this in your day of time. I could preach some of y'all's last moments. Y'all do this. I see some new to it. He don't ever do this. This dude bought his wife a vacuum cleaner. Oh, ladies, go ahead and tell me about that. Let's say it together. Ooh, that's bad. That's bad. Now, if you've done that as a guy, the altar will be open here in a few minutes. And you can come and repent to the Lord for the sin that you have committed. You know, Gary Dale, you ain't ever done that. You've thought about it, though. Yes, sir, because you come out of the same generation I do. And he kept telling her, honey, it's a dual bag vacuum cleaner. You know, it's one of those high-tech vacuum cleaners. She still wasn't what? How many of y'all have ever given, and you thought it might have been out of right heart, but it was the wrong gift? Well, here's what I want to encourage you to today. When Jesus came to give, he gave the right gift with the right attitude at the right time. Amen. Jesus came when he was supposed to come, right in that moment of history, to interrupt us, to allow us to see beyond ourselves. And I want you to see we got a response to that. Some of you guys today, guess what? Some of you guys today, several people today, they woke up and they said, you know what? I think I need to be saved. Because they really didn't wake up. Guess what? God began. Wait a minute. I love you. I love you so much. I don't want you to end up in hell. Is that such a bad message? Now, guys, I'm going to warn you. I'm going to follow Jesus Christ. And I'm going to believe what the Bible says. Even though the Bible's not in vogue right now, it's not popular. I've received emails. I want you to know that I've received emails as your pastor that have asked me, how could I believe in such an out-of-date book? My response to the email was this: I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. At the moment in American culture, I have the freedom to be a follower in Jesus Christ. Amen. Now hold on. Just because I do not believe whatever new vogue philosophy there is that comes about every 5 years and dies out every 5 years, does not make me a bad. I mean, I was accused of being a bad, evil person because I set the social morals of my life according to the Bible. Now watch this. I want you to hear your pastor. I believe the atheist should be able to speak. What do y'all think about that? I do. I want to hear atheists speak. I want to hear all the other religions speak, because that doesn't threaten me, because I really believe Jesus Christ to be the Son of God. But here's what I want you to know. I'm going to speak too. You see, I'm going to speak, and when I speak, I'm going to say, as a follower of Jesus Christ, this is what we believe. And guess what the world's going to do when they hear that? Because watch this. When you can't be loving, you have to be tolerant. And see, in myself, I don't have a love that can get past me. You hear how I said that? I want you to know this, because this is heavy today, what we're dealing with. By myself, I don't have a love that can get past me. Can I break that down? If I define love only according to what I see, what I've heard, what I've read, what I've been exposed to, I am limited in love. Would you agree with that statement? But if I begin to allow Jesus Christ to define love in me, does that change the whole world? You know what that means? That means I can love people that I disagree with. And I don't know why that's such a masterful thing. How many of you all have been married? I've been doing that for 24 years tomorrow. I've been loving a person, and she's been loving a person that we don't always agree. We don't always agree. Young people, I want you to hear me on this, because y'all are going to be tripped up and be on all kinds of new medication they'll have to form if you all don't understand this. You can disagree with people and love them. Unity is not found in sameness, and it never will be. The clash of ideas brings us to think, to know, to explore, to invent, to discover. And so, Pastor Steve, what if people get offended? People will always be offended. Here's why. We are sinners. It's offensive. And here's why Jesus came. You know why Jesus came? We're a bunch of sinners. How many of y'all can live with that? I know some of y'all are trying to teach you at the university this, that we all have this inherited good, and if we were just left to our own humanity, we would just bless the world. Have you ever taken a history course? I encourage you to do so. The weight of history would show that when humans are left to no divine intervention, we become quite destructive. Let me build the case. We as humans discover atomic energy. So what do we do with it? Hey, we can blow each other up with this stuff. We could have made cars out of it right off the bat. And instead of having gas, we just had a little radioactive glow stuff we put in our car. And who knows, maybe the car would even been like a hovercraft. But what do we do with atomic energy? What's this? We threaten each other with it. Because humans left to their own regard tend to be destructive. What do you think? What have you discovered? Now, if you disagree with that, you don't have to get up and leave right now. It's okay. I'm proposing to you today that God came because He wanted us to get heaven. That's what I'm proposing to you. And I'm proposing to you that we don't get heaven on our own real easy. If we did, then why would Jesus come and live among us? I just think it's pretty neat that we have a God that we follow. We call Him Jesus Christ, and He's willing to become one of us and get right down here with us so that we might get heaven. What do you think? Anybody find that to be good news? And I want to show you in 1 Peter, this is the power of love. Because I want you to know, the center point of the followers of Jesus is the what? Love. So guess what? I'm going to ask you to do something this Christmas. Some of y'all are going to have to become like a shepherd. You're going to have to become shepherd-like. How many of y'all know what the shepherds did? They heard from the angels where Jesus was, and they went and what? Sorry. What do you think the shepherds did? I mean, we don't have this written down word for word, but what do you think the shepherds might have done after they'd seen Jesus? How many of y'all think the shepherds went like this? They went back into town and go, we ain't seen nothing. I guarantee you the shepherds said, you know what? We visited this baby that was born in a manger. It's incredible. Something's up here. I know you guys aren't going to buy this, but the angels were singing in the sky, and it was a tremendous moment. God's up to something. How many of y'all have a life that begins to say, God's up to something? God's up to something in me. God is loving me. Now, here's what I'm going to ask you to do at Christmas. Let God be up to something in your Christmas. Isn't that cool? How many of y'all are going to have family Christmas gatherings? How many of you all look forward to that and dread it at the same time? Let's be honest. Yeah. How many of y'all got some family members? They're coming and you're just going, oh my gosh, I can't believe it. Any of y'all got those? How many of you all are that family member that will be appearing for your family? Yeah, see, it's both and. You know what I mean? Just think. The family member, you're sitting there going, oh man, I can't believe they're coming. They're sitting at their house going, oh, I can't believe I got to go over there, okay? So somewhere we got to love one another. And I want to show you something very powerful. 1 Peter chapter 4. Get ready for the world. Go live in it. I have one simple message today. And I'm coming close to the altar. So it's going to be quicker than you think. And I know y'all are saying we got another 25 minutes. But we really don't. I know what y'all say about me. Look at here. And you're right most of the time. Okay? Look at here. The end of all things is near. Now go to chapter 4, verse 7, 1 Peter. The end of all things is near. Well, listen, don't get freaked out about that. The end of all things is always near. Huh. For some of you, guess what? December, guess what happened? The end of college was near, and now it's over. You graduated. High school, the end of all things is near. How many of you realize we're always sitting on the edge of the end of all things? I don't know about you, but I cannot do what I used to do in my 20s without great pain. Now, any of y'all, 20 of y'all, I want y'all to know, I'm as good for 60 seconds as I ever was. If I'm playing basketball with you, for the first minute, I'm running with you. It's the second minute that difficulty comes in. When my heart's going like boom, 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 and my knee's going, the end of all things is near. And if you don't quit running, I will end you. Here's what I'm just showing you. Watch. Things come to an end. It's okay. It's a very simple message today, but yet deeply complex. Will you allow the end to be the end? Here's what it means to follow Jesus Christ. You ready? There is no end. How many of y'all glad to know there is no end? What's this? What's, let me help you. And don't freak out about this. Good. Five of you are excited about this. There will be an end to America. I don't know when that is. If I knew when that is, we'd have all kinds of money and we'd pay the building off. Nobody knows when that is. You say, well, how do you know there'll be an end to America? There was an end to Rome. And we have about got more arrogant and cocky than they were. We're about right at the same age. Oh, about 220 years or so, because sometimes we get puffed up. When did Jesus come? Jesus came and sat his message right in the heartbeat of Rome. In the midst of their high technology, their advancing education system. Guess what? You would have loved Rome. They had flushing toilets 2,000 years ago. There are parts of eastern Kentucky we hadn't mastered that technology yet. Eastern Missouri. Parts. And in Rome, Jesus came with a message that was so simple, it was so complex, it was so vital, it was so penetrating, but yet it was hard to understand for those who wanted to have something to do with it. Here's what I want you to know. God sent Jesus because He knew we would have an end, and He wanted us to have a beginning.
Amen.
And He simply said this, "I'm here to forgive you of your sins." Now, church, there's some practicality to this. Quit moping. All right, listen, at least at Hillview, I can't change the whole world, but I can at least encourage you all with some influence on this. Would you all quit walking around like the world's coming to an end? I'm so tired of hearing about our bad economy. Let's see how bad it was. Did everybody eat this week? How many of you all ate too much this week? Oh. Everybody go to sleep and have some heat last night? If you didn't, we want to get that taken care of. Everybody have a roof over your head? Did you get here today? Somebody pick you up, or you drive, or you ride at Hillview, you rode some type of vehicle and you arrived here?
Yes.
Then church say amen.
Amen.
Your needs have been taken care of. Now some of you are going, "Well, I wanted an X409 Double D 360 Xbox that cost $1,500 because it would have a hologram that came out while I was playing my PlayStation game." When? The end of all things is near. This may happen to our young people. They may no longer be able to play video games for 30 hours a week and actually have to go get a job. That would be an awful, devastating thing in their lives. Like no other group of young people have ever had to do that before. I blow some of you college students away. You know how people used to go to college? Guess what? Guess how they used to afford going to college? Allison, guess what they used to do? It's crazy. They went to class. And a job at the same time, and still maintained high grade point averages. And they didn't go, "Give me, give me, give me." They said, "I'm going to get it done." Crazy world back then in the ancient days before cell phones. The end of all things is near. Be careful. Here's what I'm saying. I'm going to leave you with this. This will never end. That's what Jesus is trying to say. Look. He says, be careful, be clear-minded, be clear-minded. This Christmas, I want you to be clear-minded. Look, therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. Watch this. Embrace Christmas with your family this year. Be clear-minded and be thankful. How many of y'all are thankful Granny's there? Y'all need to hug. Don't be leaving Granny out at Christmas. Sometimes we put Granny on the side, don't we? You need to love Granny. Yeah, is she going to give you a dolly that you never want, them little quilted things? You know, and you cool, and you'll treasure that later on. But be what? Yup, yup, that happens, doesn't it? They're laughing back there going, yeah? But guess what? Be clear-minded and self-controlled. I'm talking to followers of Jesus here. This book is to followers. So for those who are saved, look clearly and be controlled. Love each other. Guys, this is the message the world needs to hear from us. And I hope you all are looking into 09 and say, wait a minute, as a believer, as a follower in Christ, this is what I want to do. I'm just telling you out of my own life, this is what blows people away more than anything. I love a lot of people that I philosophically disagree with. And I have my whole life. Because one of the things I love to do is argue. Sometimes I just disagree with you, even when I don't disagree with you, just because I want to see what you're going to do. I'm going to see if you really believe what you're talking about, or are you just going along with what everybody's saying. I want to see if you really follow Jesus Christ. Can you disagree and still be unified? Because our unity is supposed to be in Christ, not in our philosophy or our interpretation. I tell all the young theologian students that I have that listen to me, I say, never make your friends based on the theology that they have. I got a lot of friends that believe and interpret some things really differently. And I think it's okay that they're wrong. It doesn't bother me a bit.
It doesn't mess with me.
I'm just kidding. And they'd say, hey, Ayers ain't got a clue. But watch this, you know what they'll say? Ayers ain't got a clue, but he loves me.
Amen.
I'm telling you, that'll walk. Elizabeth has to say that sometimes. My husband ain't got a clue, but he loves me. And for some insane reason, by the grace of God, I love him. See, it's a relationship. I have not, my son's old enough to argue with me. He argues all the time with me. And guess what? Blake and I can sit in a truck and we can talk about issues. And we don't agree on every issue. But I love the conversation because both of us are thinking. But guess what? After we get done with the issues, guess what we know more than anything else? We love each other. Now, church, we ought to be leaving that in the house of this world. We ought to be the people that say, you know what? I'm going to lovingly disagree with you, but I want you to know I want the best in your life no matter what. I'm just going to tell y'all something right now, and you need to be aware of this. We can't let sin run loose. And here's why God doesn't want sin running loose, because love conquers sin. It's in the book. Romans, Colossians, 1 Corinthians. And then at 1 Peter, guess what he says? Above all else, above all, love each other deeply. Because love covers a multitude of what? Well, let me give you Christmas. I'm going to end right there. That's what Christmas did. Jesus was born to come and cover a multitude of sins. And here's why you don't want sin running wild. What if I demanded my right to be drunk? That would be not good. Now, hold on. Y'all are a little bit shocked. You go, well, you don't have a right to be drunk. If I follow a lot of the philosophy of this world, I do. I could probably prove to you that I need alcohol. And I need to drink a lot of it. Now, how many of y'all would like to drive on Scottsville Road with everybody drunk? Not that it would be much different than it is now. But how would you like that? How would you all like to come to church and I'd just be loaded up, three sheets in the wind, preaching the gospel? Y'all think I'm bad now. Y'all think I'm controversial now. What if I was just in here, Chad, going, well, let me tell you one other thing about Jesus. But I could say I am expressing my right to drunkenness. Now see, when I use something else, it don't look as fun, does it? Here's what I want you to know. Two things this Christmas. We are to be the most loving human beings that God has made because He has remade us in His grace.
Amen.
That's what followers of Christ are about. And number two, we're not supposed to be sin spotters. You know, I watched that movie one time, had the tornadoes in it, you know, and they were these storm chasers. There's some Christians, they remind me of these storm chasers. They just follow behind people's lives, and then they act like Barney Fife. You all remember Barney and Andy Griffin, you know? And citizens arrest! Citizens arrest! We got these Christians running out of moral imbalance. Oh! Sinner! That's not Jesus. You know what Jesus says? Hey, sinner. Sinner. Welcome to the forgiver.
Amen.
Born on a noisy night in Bethlehem, when nobody was listening. They were so busy being the world, about the only people's attention I could get were some shepherds and a few intellectuals who were viewing the destiny of a grand moment in history. I couldn't even get the entertainment industry of the day, the motel industry, to realize that the Son of God could have been born at their place. How good would that have been for business, Chuck? You know, if you had Chuck's Inn, Bethlehem, you know. Yeah. I mean, what kind of hotel chain would you have? The places where kings are born. But where was the king born? in a manger. Because what's this? God said, here's what I love about the Christmas story. No matter how bad we try to shut Him out, He's coming in. If we don't have a hotel, He'll find a manger. If we don't have a king's escort, He'll ride a donkey. When the cheers turn to jeers, He'll take a cross. Because He knows the end of all things is near. But He also knows the beginning of all things is possible. And the reason they're possible is because, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of what? Sins. Amen? So please, as we journey in this world today, I hope that you will be followers of Jesus Christ, where the world may say, I don't agree with what they believe in or how they put things together, but I just can't understand their life. Because they tend to love each other above all else. Merry what? Christmas. Y'all got this down? Y'all been beautiful today. BJ sang beautiful. The drums were incredible. Keith's got a cool looking suit on today. God is moving in our midst. And you're here today. And I hope most of all we will continue to love Bowling Green with the love of Jesus Christ. Hillview, if you want to, you're going to be an illustration of God's unity in the midst of diversity. I just don't want you to go in the new year fearing the new year. I don't fear the new year. I want you to know there's three things you need to understand the church is going to stand for. We're going to believe Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. I want you to know right there that absolutely makes me controversial. Some of you here today may say, well, I don't believe that. You have the freedom not to believe that. But I also have the freedom to believe that Jesus is the only way to heaven. Here's what I'll say. When the trumpet blows, we'll see who's right. Watch this. Here's where I'm limited. There's no way I can convince you right now to be saved. What do you think about that? Right now, as we've sung today and spoken today, and you've been exposed to people that follow Jesus Christ, there may have been a spirit that's gone, wait a minute, you need to be connected to me, says God. If he's moving on you, then guess what? You'll hear Him. And if He's not moving on you, you might have to say, dear Lord, open my what? How many of y'all can't hear God because you're too busy hearing yourself? How many of y'all can't see tomorrow because you're always looking at how you can get ahead today? See, Jesus unwinds everything and He says, hey, don't worry about tomorrow. You know why, Lance? Because Jesus said, I'm here today. And if I'm here today, you ain't got to worry about tomorrow. Because if you're with me, it's okay. No matter what they say. And that's why you look through history, you see these crazy people for 2,000 years. In the 1500s, you know what the martyrs, this society was saying that Jesus Christ could not be the only way. This has gone on more than once. Watch this. There were people, this is recorded history. You go look it up. You can look it up on the internet. Martyrs who stood burning at the stake. And you know what they said at their death? They didn't say, let me go. They said, salt me well. They put sulfur on them, gunpowder. And He said, because I will never recant that Jesus is my Lord. Salt me well. And they were singing as they passed this moment to the next. You got to decide if you're going to believe. If you believe in Jesus, you will not be popular. However, you will be forgiven of your sins. If you believe in Jesus Christ, you will not be accepted most of the time by Hollywood. However, you will be destined to heaven. If you believe in Jesus Christ, people will think you're primitive, not sophisticated, and not intelligent. However, if you go really research and look at the people that have followed Jesus Christ and made great contribution to all disciplines in the world, God calls a lot of smart people to go to heaven and make great contribution while they're here. I just want you to know He's for real. And here's what I want you to know. Rome tried to shut Him out. They didn't win. Hitler tried to bring Him down in the 20th century. We're still talking about Jesus. But you know what? Those are big moments. Your question is your moment. Do you know the baby born in Bethlehem knows you? When you do, above all else, love one another. And love one another as Christ is loving you. Amen. Let's stand together. We're going to open this altar up. Y'all been beautiful today. I want you to kind of just hang out for a second. Hang out. I want you to listen. All right? Just listen. For every one of you in this room, that if you were to raise your hand right now, don't raise, but if you were to raise your hand right now, I'm a follower of Christ. I've got some questions. If someone met you, would they know you love above all else? That's the greatest gift you can give the world. Chantel, you notice with Aaron, his faith and his experience with Jesus Christ was deeply sincere. Because as soon as Jesus came in his life, that's an act from heaven into him, grace. Who did he want to share it with? The person he loved the most at this moment of time on earth, his mother. And why did he want to share it with you? Because you loved him. You start it because you're the parent. And it passes through. Same with God. He'd like to love you right now. His first act of love to you is to forgive you. He asks you to repent. Here's what repent means. Tell God you're sorry for where you've been. You desire Him to come into your life because you want to end up where He ultimately wants to take you. How many of y'all need that kind of situation? Amen. Praise God. Praise God. How many of y'all need to know hope, peace, joy, and love? Well, ask Christ in your life. Some of you men, it's been happening all day, man. I'm talking to some of you old salty dogs out there. Some of y'all are already bulldogged up. It's all from time.
Well, God, I ain't coming up here. I ain't getting baptized. But God, I believe there's a universal God.
Well, whoop-a-dee-doo. I mean, how hard was that? Do you know there's a Jesus who was born in Bethlehem, who's God's Son, who will forgive you for your messed up life and reconstruct your life in such a way that heaven is your destiny? Now, that'll change you. Some of y'all believe you need to be baptized. You come on. Lynn, that baptism hurt you up there at Godstock? It took you about a decade to get there, though, didn't it? Doesn't matter how long it takes you, just as long as you what? Get there. Well, God's calling some folks out to get there today. I want to let y'all know something. We're going to be baptizing. You ready? Christmas. How many of y'all realize Christmas is Thursday? If that's new information to anybody at this altar, you're in a lot of trouble. Okay? It's Thursday. Wednesday, we have services here 12 noon, 4 o'clock, and 6 o'clock. We will be baptizing in all three of those services. Also, if you can't get to one of those services and you want to be baptized on Christmas Eve, we will be baptizing in between those services as scheduled. My great delight would be we have to start here about 6 o'clock in the morning and finish here about 9 o'clock at night, baptizing everybody, as many people as we possibly could in the county. That'd be an unreal day. That could happen. It's going to happen sometime before we get out of here, before the end is near. So, by the way, if you haven't, if you're married or if you're engaged, that this would qualify there too. If you have not gotten a Christmas present yet, the end is near for you. So embrace that. Let's pray and listen to God right now. Lord, after my small time on earth and my very limited observation, I stand amazed at Your grace. God, I still cannot understand how You have forgiven me, especially when I have erred more than once at the same thing. But Your mercy continues. And God, You're seeking today. I feel You in here. God, I feel Your presence. Your Word's been spoken. Your songs have been sung. Many of Your people have gathered. And if God's calling you right now, listen, if you know God's saying, hey, I love You. I want to forgive You. Let me in. Let me in. Let me in, says the Lord Jesus. You come and let Him touch you, will you? Maybe you need to come today and pray. Maybe you've been believing in Jesus and you need to be baptized. Maybe you just need to square it up before the year's over. Maybe you're sick and you need some prayers of healing. For just a moment, I want you to imagine that that cross in the baptistry is the ultimate Christmas tree.
Because it really is.
And it doesn't have to be lit up because God lit it up with the resurrection. And I'm going to ask that you would just let God speak. Yeah? To your heart right now. Lord Jesus, thank You for the many people You have created. Those that You have brought to this place today. Those that will be saved, those that will be healed, and those of us that just say, thank You, Lord, we're going to live out our faith. Move in this altar, amen. Church, you've heard from Jesus. Now come on, it's time for us to respond. This altar is open, and this is all of our time together with God. And you just let Him come speak to you and love you right now, okay? Come on, we got people coming. You're next. Come on. Come on, in the name of Jesus.